Good morning. It's good to see everybody in church this morning, and welcome to those who are joining us online. I think I'll simply hand over to Marion.
Just from the strawberries and ice cream, okay. Please stay after worship to enjoy strawberries and ice cream and a chat. The parish newsletter will be ready for distribution early in the coming week. If you can help with deliveries in either Cairnhill, every letterbox, or in Crossford, to those on our contact list, please contact Derek on 882190. And Derek's on the sound desk this morning, so you could catch him after the service. The walking group. The next church walk takes place on Sunday, the 25th of June, in the Vane Farm area, with the usual coffee stop. Meet at Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Kirk Session will meet on Tuesday, the 27th of June at 7 p.m. The Cycling Club, C4, will have its next outing on Saturday, the 1st of July, to Torwood. More information again from Derek. No Zoom presentations in July. Apologies, but we will not be able to provide Zoom services during any of the Sundays in July. Audio recordings will be available via the website. Cash. We wish everyone a wonderful summer, and we look forward to being in church again on Sunday, the 2nd of September. Before then, we are all off on our first cash trip to see Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat on Friday, the 23rd of June at the Carnegie Theatre. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
I have one further intimation, and we'll put it onto the intimation sheet for next week. It's just to say that I got this. This came to me yesterday, and it's about a strawberry tea at Oakley Church, which is on the 1st of July, so there's a wee bit to go. So that's an invitation to everybody from our West Villages church group, but I'll make sure that that goes onto the intimation sheet. I'll leave it for Derek, and we'll put it on the notice board. From Sandy Muirhead, sent that out to me. It is good to be here in worship, especially on a day when we celebrate around our Lord's table. So let's begin our worship by singing hymn number 193, God is Love, His the Care. let's bless our offering. Almighty God, we present our gifts, knowing that all that we have comes from you. We praise you in our giving and pray that what we give will glorify you, our God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Communion Sundays are always special Sundays. But there's something special about this Sunday. What is it? What's special about this Sunday?
Father's Day.
It's Father's Day. I'm glad somebody knew. I was just thinking about that and I was remembering my dad. Now, my dad was born in 1926 and he died just before his 90th birthday, so my dad's been gone a wee while, but I can still remember my dad being able to do some amazing things. I hope all dads can do amazing things. I'm looking at them and they just look puzzled. My dad worked a lot with money. He was a site cashier, which meant he had to deal with all the wages for men that were working on sites across Scotland. And he'd been down into England, which I didn't know until he was well into retirement, all the places he'd been, because one day I sat down and found out. Always a good thing to sit down and find out what your dad's been up to. But my dad could do this special thing with a bundle of notes. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, and I suspect you can't do this with plastic, the plastic notes we've now got, but with the paper notes, you could. And he would do something like just lick one finger, and then he would take a bundle of notes, and with two fingers and a thumb, he'd go zzz, and give you the number. And it just seemed to go zzz. And, you know, it would be maybe 30 or 40 or whatever. And it always seemed amazing to me. And I tried to do it, and I could never get that thing to work. I suspect that lots of people who worked in banks and things like that could do exactly the same. Can you do that, Rosemary? You can do that! Right, we'll have to have a demonstration one day. But here's another thing my dad could do. Now, I realise you've got to be quite old for this. And it's not just you won't recognise, but your parents probably don't recognise this either. But in the olden days, money was counted in 12s, 20s and units. There were 12 pennies in a shilling, 20 shillings in a pound, and then you just counted the pounds normally. Now, some people will get that, and a lot of people will never have seen that at all. But my dad could do a special thing. My dad could take three fingers and put them on three columns, and so with this finger he was counting in 12s, and then every time he got a 12, he added it to this one. And this finger, he was counting 20s. And every time he got a 20, he was adding it to this one. And so he could take pounds, shillings and pence in a sheet, and he could run his fingers down like that and then write the number at the bottom. By the time you were working, there were no pounds, shillings and pence. But these were real skills. My dad was really good at numbers. And that's something that has stuck with me as a memory. And maybe it's why I love numbers so much. And I've now got a grandson who is absolutely obsessed by numbers. And these things happen. On Father's Day, one of the things that always comes to my mind is that we all have a perfect father. Now, my dad was not perfect, and I've not been a perfect dad. Thankfully, I've got none of my family here to tell you how imperfect I was, or am. But we have one perfect father, and that's God. And you might think, well, you know, God's way up there, and he's almighty and eternal and infinite and all these big, big things that you see. But Jesus said, when you speak to God, this is, you say, Abba, Father. And Abba was the Hebrew for saying dad or daddy. In other words, we are to treat God as if we were just simply his children. Just like I sometimes said to my dad, Dad. Sometimes I say, God. And sometimes I'm trying to be, sometimes I get from my children, Dad. And I think, what do they want? And sometimes I go, excuse me, God, here's what I would like. But that's all about real relationship. And it is a real relationship that God wants to have with us, father to child. So on Father's Day, all of us here have a perfect father. And that's a good thing for us to remember today. Now, I can see some stuff here. Who's in charge? There's a lot of fingers going. Are you in charge, Irene?
I've been nominated one.
I'm glad to know you're in charge. I should maybe ask your family. Oh. Well, don't know what they would say.
Depends if they want lunch.
Oh, right, okay. That's fair.
So, just obviously going to hand out, so that's for Hugh.
Hugh. Well done, Hugh. Oh. Well, we'll give it to your mum. There we go. I wonder who this one might be for. Is there anybody here called Henry? Are you called Henry? Ryan? Now, I really wanted you to show the same enthusiasm. Are you beginning to grow up? Well, you're certainly growing. That's great. Lewis? This is making me do a lot of running around, you know. Well done, Lewis. Leah? So, is there a reason for the T-shirts?
Oh,
and the cat.
Full matching outfits.
It's matching outfits. Should I have been wearing something like that? Yes. Right. Marshall. Oh. I just about lost your sweets, Marshall. That would have been a disaster, wouldn't it? And
Magnus.
Very well done. Ah, and Katrina. And you're going up to high school. So you get a Bible as well as other things. So you're old enough to go to high school.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not old enough. I always say that kind of thing. But, you know, you grow up so fast. And I feel I'm having to draw myself up to my full height.
Thank you.
So well done.
Thank you for Hamish.
And Hamish. Oh, there he is. Now, You see, there's no point in me trying to pull myself up to my full height.
Cheers.
You probably don't need any more feeding, otherwise you're going to... I keep worrying about your dad bumping his head as he goes out. So that's maybe your ambition, to bump your head as you go out through the arch in the church. Right. I never worry about these things. Well done.
And there's one last gift to give, and that's to yourself.
Oh, that's for me. Is this because we're all children?
That's it.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much to all the children for being part of Catch. Because...
What's Catch?
Catch. Do you know you're part of Catch? No, I said Catch. I blame his parents personally. And when it comes to parents, you know whose fault it is. Even on Father's Day. So, well done. And I hope you're going to enjoy the rest of today, because I think you're about to go off and enjoy other things as we sing. And will you stay around? Will you be here for the ice cream and things later on, or is that all for me? So thank you very much for being in church. It's great to see you all. I'll save those for later. I better not eat them during the service. So let's sing now. Will you come and follow me?
When thinking about today's prayers, I took inspiration from the song Kumbaya, which is in itself a prayer. Let us listen to the first verse. Let us pray. Kumbaya, Lord, come by here, and let us know your presence in our hearts and in our thoughts today. As we listen to your word, sing your praise and bring our prayers to you. Make us aware of your Holy Spirit within us, leading us and guiding us to a deeper faith. Lord, your greatness calls us to worship you. Your power calls us to adore you. And your love calls us to trust you. Your creation gives us the challenge to praise you. Your Son gives us the reason to thank you. And your Spirit gives us the strength to serve you. Come by here, you Lord. Someone singing, Lord. And we praise you for all your goodness to us. We recognize you in the green fields and in the bright flowers, in the blue skies and in the fine summer days, all reassuring us of your promise of life. We pray that we will be careful custodians of your great creation, that our children will inherit an unpolluted earth and also know your benefits. Most of all, Lord, we praise you for that greatest gift, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who did indeed come by here, teaching us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And so to our readings for today. These come from the book of Psalms and from the first letter to the Corinthians. And Caroline is going to read to us. Both of these readings are related to our celebration of communion.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 116, verses 7 to 14. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted, and in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And the New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 32. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Do you have a favourite book of the Bible? I talked about one of mine last week, from the Old Testament. It's a question that's sometimes asked of me, and I almost always answer in terms of it is the Gospels that are first and foremost those books that I enjoy, and of the four, it's probably Mark's Gospel that appeals to me most. If you read the stories in Mark and then go to Matthew and Luke, you'll find that almost everything in Mark is repeated word for word in Matthew and Luke, usually with a bit of explanation. I suspect I like Mark because he is blunt. He simply says, this is what Jesus said. Where Matthew and Luke try to explain a bit about it. And that bluntness appeals to me. But then people say, well, yes, kind of expected it would be the Gospel. Apart from the Gospels, what would be your favourite? And there, I suppose it might depend on the day, but very often I've answered by saying it has to be the first letter to the Corinthians. And there are a number of reasons for this. Not least is because we get some of the clearest teaching on what it means to be church, what it means to live out our faith. There is no doubt that Paul had a huge affection for this Christian community. What we know of as two letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, most scholars believe are actually constructed from four letters. In other words, Paul wrote extensively to this Christian community. He puts in a lot of effort. He cares deeply for this struggling community of believers, and clearly his deep love is matched by huge frustration. And that's my other reason for choosing 1 Corinthians as a favourite. This Christian community was getting almost everything wrong. Much of the good advice that we find in this letter is because this fellowship of believers was making such a mess of living as a Christian community. If it were not for their frailty and failure, we would miss out on a great deal. There is something reassuring about Paul's godly care for this troubled Christian community. And sometimes, when the church of today, whether it's us as a local congregation or the wider church, is not getting things exactly right, and we're not exactly behaving as we ought to behave towards each other, I've got a kind of reassurance. Actually, were not as bad as that lot. And that's a reminder that God does not give up. Even when we, when I, am not what we or I should be, we still belong. On this Father's Day, it is worth remembering that God as Father is the perfect parent. Here is absolute unbending love. Here is love that is not dependent on us being lovable. Here is love that can be as tough or as tender as we need. Right at the heart of 1 Corinthians, we find that great statement on love that is so often used and referred to. Where would we be without 1 Corinthians 13? Since God is love, we look to Jesus as the physical embodiment of the love that Paul describes. Jesus tells us that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. These are not just words. We know that that is exactly what Jesus did. We remember his self-giving for our salvation, and no place better than at the Lord's table. In his command that we should share bread and wine and remember what he did. Now, as we read the instructions, as we heard those instructions just a moment or two ago, it seems clear that the celebration of what we call communion was, in its beginning, a fellowship of God's people eating together. It sounds a bit like it was a bring and share supper. The only problem is that the Corinthians had forgotten the share bit. So instead of being a table that united the church, it had become a table that divided. Had we read a little bit earlier the reason for Paul saying, "This is what I received from the Lord," is him saying, "This is not the Lord's table. You're not doing this right. So here is what to do." Having dealt with their error, Paul gives them very clear teaching on what the Lord's table should be. The words we read very much indicate that this is a reminder of what they already know. This is what you should have been doing. So I'm going to set it down in writing. This is going back to basics. This is at the very heart of who we are as a Christian community. A key element of worship is communion. It is the Lord's table. It's all about Jesus. It is a reminder of what Jesus does to bring us into communion with God. And it is also our proclamation of God's love. We sometimes refer to this as the dying and undying love of Jesus. By forgetting that this is the Lord's table, the Corinthians brought God's judgment upon themselves. Unfortunately, Paul's words have been misunderstood far too often as something that says, "You better be good enough to sit here." And that is absolutely not what Paul is saying. What he said to that Corinthian congregation is, "You have made a mockery of what is at the table by the way you are behaving at the table." Paul knew that this was for sinners. He called himself, the least of all the disciples, as one untimely born, as someone who had persecuted the church. Paul had no great view of himself. To come to the Lord's table as a repentant sinner is exactly right. The wrong that was committed and the wrong that Paul is dealing with is that the people had made the meal something selfish and self-centered. That was then. But it has to be said that the church has been in error in the way that it has treated communion. There have been times when the church has declared who may and who may not receive communion as though it were our table, and we decide who is right to receive, either by judging people by their lifestyle or by their theology. The assumption that our theology is the right theology, the assumption that somehow lifestyle gives you a right to the Lord's table, is entirely wrong. If we require either a perfect life or a perfect theology, then not one single person here has a right to be at the table. The invitation to the Lord's table is by Jesus' command. At the table, it does not matter if you are the minister, an elder, a fully paid up member, a regular worshipper, or a visitor. It does not matter if you have a settled and strong faith or a troubled and weak faith. It does not matter what you think of yourself. What matters is that Jesus invites us to this table, and it is by his invitation we receive the bread and the wine. And if you have any doubt, think about the Last Supper upon which this celebration is based. Jesus said we should do this in remembrance of him. He said this at that Last Supper. And who did he give the bread and the wine to? It was to those who would desert him. It was to Peter who would deny him. It was to Judas who would betray him. As an ordained minister of word and sacrament, as I am described in church documents, I have important words to speak at this service. As Norman, I am hugely honoured and completely undeserving of Jesus' invitation to be here. I have absolutely no right to be at this table other than Jesus says, come to the table. We have the dying and the undying love of Christ. It is Jesus who invites us to be here. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And those words, spoken or written by Cyril of Alexandria, those many hundreds of years ago, as two pieces of wax fused together make one, so he who receives Holy Communion is so united with Christ that Christ is in him and he is in Christ. We are here at the Lord's invitation. Amen. Our prayers for other people. Marion.
Continue the theme of Kumbaya and listen to another verse.
Someone's
Let us pray. Come by here, Lord. Someone's crying, Lord. We remember before you those who are ill. Comfort and uphold them in the warmth of your love. Give them courage in their pain and hope of relief from their discomfort. Grant strength and patience to those who bear the responsibility of caring for the sick, in body or mind. We pray for those who are anxious for loved ones. Support them in their concern and lead them to an awareness of your sustaining love. Come by here, Lord. We pray for those whose lives are disrupted by war or natural disaster, for the starving, the refugee, the homeless. May leaders of war-torn countries learn tolerance and understanding that peace may ensue. Let reason prevail that all may love their neighbour however different. Preserve the safety of those whose aid is a lifeline to the victims. Come by here, Lord. Someone's praying, Lord, and we would pray for those who use their skills to further your work. We pray for our minister, our Kirk session, and all who meet to worship here. We pray for the work, local and national, attempted in your name. Lord, take our words, our lives, and our service, and use everything everywhere for your glory. Amen.
Just as Marian has been repeatedly using the words of Kumbaya, we are repeatedly using the words of Psalm 116. We've heard some of the words read, and we're now going to sing some of the words of that psalm before communion, and you will hear some of the words of that psalm within communion. So let's sing our communion hymn. It's at number 76, How Can I Ever Thank the Lord? We gather now at our Lord's table. We are here because of Jesus' invitation. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us follow the example of our Lord in word and action. And as Jesus gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. It is right to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, Creator and Lord of all. We know you as the one who created all things, as the author of life. We know that you created us, humanity, in your own image, and you gave us stewardship of the earth. When we and all humanity had fallen, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your love and to save us from sin and death. We gather at this table by our Lord's invitation. Our prayer is that you will send your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the bread and upon the wine, so that we who eat and drink at this table may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we live in unity with Christ and with all who love him. Give us in this sacrament, in this bread and in this wine, a foretaste of eternal joy. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What we do at this table is in obedience to Christ. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this, and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we have received here at our Lord's table. We have received the bread of heaven. We have received the cup of promise. We are united in worship with your people on earth and your people in heaven. Grant that, strengthened by this fellowship and by your Holy Spirit, may we continue Jesus' work in the world and truly be the body of Christ as we are called to be. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing praise, hymn number 506. All I once held dear, built my life upon.
Thank you.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.